Hi, welcome to Info Dumpies. My name's Brianne. I'm autistic, I have ADHD, my pronouns are she, her, and someone once told me that weed affects your memory, but yeah, I'll be damned if I can remember who told me that.
Hi, I'm Violet, I have ADHD, my pronouns are she, her, and without looking, can you recall if Info Dumpies is one word or two? Brianne, I'm sure you probably remember.
Well, yeah, I dumped it, it's one word.
Yeah, exactly. And it was always one word, and we didn't change it. Today, I want to talk about something that you've probably heard of by another name, but I'm going to refer to it here by the technical term, which is a false memory.
Mandela effect.
Yeah, the Mandela effect. That's how it's more commonly known. A false memory, or Mandela effect, is a distorted recollection of an event, or in some cases, recollection of an event that never actually happened. False memories are what we would call an error of commission, because you are committing to a detail, a fact, or an event that is, in your mind, something that you recall very vividly, but never actually happened and does not correspond to any prior events. Even when the people are highly confident that they are remembering the truth of the original situation, experimental evidence shows that people can be wrong and have false memories. And I'm going to talk about some ways that that is done to people and can be done to people in experimental settings and happens to people in daily life. And I'm also going to talk about some interesting research I found about how autistic people specifically interact with false memories and their ability to essentially resist them.
Oh, wow. So so you're going to go over some of the reasons. So there's one, can I say one Mandela effect that I watched something about the reason it happened, that you're probably, I don't want to step on your toes, but the Berenstain versus Berenstain Bears.
That's one of the classic examples. That and obviously Nelson Mandela. So I have actually a little quiz section later on for you.
Oh, and fun.
Yeah.
I love a quiz.
I have a whole bunch of different false memory Mandela effects that I've looked up examples of this. And I'm going to quiz you to see what you can remember correctly.
Oh, I love quizzes.
Yeah.
So, I'm not a nerd.
I know. I love quizzes too. They're fun. I'm a game design nerd. I just like making a game out of stuff. So
I like doing good at school.
I love you. And I love when you like doing good at school. And if I can make this fun for you, I'm pickled. Tickled. That's the word. I was looking for the tickled, not pickled.
You're pickled?
I just like pickles also.
You do. She does. She loves pickles.
I'm pickled pink.
Well, that sounds like something else.
Yeah, no, that's probably
something else. How'd your date go last night? Ooh, I got pickled pink.
A false memory happens because memory is reconstructive. We are not machines, obviously. We don't replay the past like a video. Instead, we form memories using fragments of experience mixed with expectations and later information, and all of our memories can be influenced by these things. As I'm going to explain, this can go wrong in a number of ways, resulting in a variety of different instances where one can remember something that didn't happen or remember something incorrectly. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, hey, this sounds a lot like gaslighting. I'm not really going to talk a lot about gaslighting because it's
different.
Yeah, it's a pretty traumatic concept. And yes, gaslighting can result in people forming false memories, but none of the research that I found is deliberately gaslighting people. What I want to talk about is not basically traumatizing or abusing people into remembering something incorrectly, but different, more interesting ways that someone can misremember something, and it's not even necessarily deliberate. So the first of these that I want to talk about is something called presuppositions. And presuppositions are something that occurs when a question assumes that something has already happened, even if it did not. People will often accept the assumption built into the presupposition and unknowingly add it to their memory. If I were to tell you, what shade of blue was that wallet? That presupposes the wallet was blue. Exactly. Yeah. If the wallet was not blue and I asked you what shade of blue was the wallet and you said teal and it was brown, I've implanted essentially an assumption that it was blue. I'm just asking you what shade of blue it was. There was an experiment done where participants were asked to watch a video of a minor car accident. One group was asked, how fast were the cars going when they smashed into each other? And then another group was asked, how fast were the cars going when they hit each other? Interestingly enough, the participants who were told smashed gave higher speed estimates. And then a week after the test, when they were asked if they remember broken glass flying everywhere, they falsely remembered, yes, they do remember that. It was a high-speed collision in their mind that involved windshields breaking.
Interesting.
The strong wording here is encouraging imagining. It's encouraging imaginary damage that did not actually occur. So you're presupposing, well, they smashed into each other, so it must have been forceful enough to be described as a smash, right?
Not a fender bender in a parking lot.
There's another one where participants were asked to look at a photo of a car with no broken headlight. And then after the photo is removed, they're asked, did you see the broken headlight? And many would answer yes and recall vivid details about the broken headlight that they definitely saw. Because
I think I'm already picking up on how autistic people have, in D&D terms, a resistance to this.
Yeah. And it's funny because I did all the research on this false memory stuff after starting off with wanting to do an episode on Mandela Effect. And Mandela Effect is basically a sort of a misnomer for a false memory. The correct, like, technical term for what is going on is a false memory, right? In terms of, like, psychology.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also think Mandela Effect refers to a collective cultural false memory where a big subset of people of a culture or misremembering something. Does that make sense? At least to me.
Absolutely.
When you talk about false memory versus Mandela effect, to me, I think Mandela effect is, hey, there's a large swath of this general culture who has misremembered this thing.
The Mandela effect is like a specific term for a specific type of false memory.
Yeah.
It's the last one that I'm going to talk about in the list here. But yeah, no, you're totally right, though. There was another example of presupposition where a child sees a man with no hat. The interviewer asks, what color was the man's hat? The child gives a color and later insists the man wore a hat. In that situation, a child trusting an adult to not give them something leading, right? That would lead them to something false. The next one that I have is the misinformation effect. The misinformation effect occurs when false information is presented after an event becomes mixed with the original memory. So this one had a little bit of a hard time understanding at first. There was one study I saw about the misinformation effect where participants were asked to watch a video of a car stopping at a stop sign. Then later, they were read a description of the scene mentioning a yield sign, not necessarily that the car stopped at the yield sign or slowed to a yield sign, but when people were asked about the report, they did report seeing a yield sign in the video, even though it was never in the video. It was just described alongside the video. So it's like you're staging two things next to each other. Another example of this was participants were shown a picture of a man holding a wrench. Later, they are simply told that the man was holding a gun, even though they all saw the picture and they saw he was holding a wrench. Just being told later that he was holding a gun, they said, yep, he was holding a gun. And they committed that. Yeah.
This makes so much sense as to why so much of the population is easily manipulated by journalistic propaganda.
This is an effect where verbal information is taken as more factual in some cases than visual memory.
Interesting.
People will be told something in a very convincing way. It's like that adage, if you tell the lie convincingly enough, people will believe anything. You know what I'm talking about?
I guess.
Yeah. It's like the whole car salesman thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can sell the lie well enough, people will go, yeah, absolutely. That happened. That's kind of the core of how a lot of misinformation works in certain political campaigns, you may be aware.
Yeah. And then also there's a memory effect where if you send me a reel on Instagram and the person in the reel had big boobies, how it makes me forget what color the wall is.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's certainly a type of misinformation or a false memory that
Yeah.
It's called a false memory.
Ain't nothing false about them memories.
Nah, they're real. There's another example of the misinformation effect called memory conformity. Memory conformity is where you have people who are familiar with each other that are like friends, and they both witness the same thing, but one person introduces a false detail during their discussion of the events that they witnessed. The social trust inherent in that relationship causes other people to adopt that false detail. And there's been a lot of studies on this, and you can actually look some videos of this up on YouTube, where people who are friends with each other will get invited to do this study, like as a group of friends, and they'll have a lot of camaraderie with each other. Someone will come in and say and do something, and then when they leave, one person who is a plant, who has been told ahead of time what to do, will say, I thought it was really weird that guy was wearing like a purple shirt with like bananas on it. Like, what a weird shirt, right? Even though it's completely false, someone else in the group inevitably will be like, oh yeah, I did notice that. It was kind of a subtle pattern, but yeah, no, it was super weird. I noticed
that's
that too.
That's one of the situations where my autism says, ain't gonna be me, friend. Right? That shirt was a blue gingham, and I remember.
Exactly. Those are the ones that I feel like autistic people are probably the most resistant to. The study that I found it's a pretty significant difference from what I saw. And I have a little chart that's going to be in the notes later too. The next example.
It also tracks because they've also studied that like a lot of these things do feel like they're used in some capacity in advertising as well. And there is another pretty cool study looking at how advertising just generally doesn't land as easily or as well with autistic people because we're more concerned. I don't care if there's, you know, I don't care what your claims are on this product. I'm going to compare and contrast. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care. Like, I'm going to check to see if the thing you're telling me is true.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, I'm going to research these things. So advertising doesn't work on us as much. And I think it's related.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Commercials are a type of propaganda. They're trying to misinform you about how great their product is, straight up. Yeah. The next example that I have here is one that I find really interesting and I had no idea about before I started looking into this. This is something called the DRM paradigm, or more commonly known as word lists. If I were to give you a long list of words, and let's say I was trying to get you to falsely remember the word sleep, I would say, try to memorize this list of words. And I would say bed, pillow, dream, tired, blanket, sleepy, nighttime.
This one would get me. This one would absolutely get me.
Right. I'm saying words that are adjacent to the word that I'm trying to get you to say. I'm circling around the word.
Yeah.
This
one would make me go, did I forget the word sleep?
Yes.
I think I did.
This is called the DRM paradigm. It is named after Dees Roedinger McDermott, who are
easy
like
for
three
you to
different
say.
Researchers. Yeah, Dees J, Roedinger HL, and McDermott KB. That's how they were listed in the papers that I was reading about this. But it's named after them, the DRM paradigm, also known as word lists. So people often remember the general gist of information and mistakenly recall items that were never presented because they're picking up on the central idea of the list of things.
Yeah.
Sleep was one example. And this is one where people will give very high confidence false memories about because people are like, no, you definitely said sleep. You said like everything around sleep and you definitely said sleep too.
This one would fuck me up. This one would absolutely, they'd absolutely get me with this one.
Yeah. It's like reverse charades. It's like they're trying to get you to guess a word, but not just guess a word, but believe that they said a word they didn't say. It's wild. So interesting. The next thing I want to talk about is something called staged naturalistic events. This is something where a false memory can form during a realistic, emotionally engaging event, not just artificial lab environments. So for one example, a classroom is interrupted and a student runs in to disrupt a lecture. Later, students are asked misleading questions about the person's clothing or their behavior. Many of the students in that situation recalled things that did not occur and stress and surprise were reducing people's ability to accurately recall attention to detail.
Interesting.
In a kind of a flip on this, being told that you were in a stressful situation and relating to that and understanding that can have the same effect. There was another study where participants were told that as children, they were lost in a shopping mall. The event never happened. That did not occur. Many of the participants, after being described the story and being told a very emotional story of reuniting with their parents that did not occur, they began to develop detailed memories of fear, of specific people, of things that they saw, and formulated a whole story of their own around this event that never occurred.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah.
I feel like you wouldn't be able to get me with that one.
I'm curious. I don't know. I don't want to believe that you would be able to get me with this one.
Maybe if it's not the shopping mall story, maybe I'm getting thrown because I would deliberately hide from my mom at the shopping mall.
Yeah.
And true. I would go in the middle of the round clothing racks and hide in the center of them while she was shopping. And she just expected me to do that. So maybe if it was a different false memory, you might catch me.
I would walk around with my mom joking that I was her personal coat hanger because I would just sort of drift around behind my mom looking at all the the women's clothing sections going, because, you know, trans.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if this would work on me specifically, but something like this, this is something that's actually kind of controversial because a lot of courtrooms and lawyers will claim something called the false memory effect as like a
psychological disorder,
right?
Which is not a thing that happens. And it's a really false paradigm. I was hoping you would bring this up. It's a really false notion that people use to say that survivors must be mistaken.
Right, right. I think it is a really, really dangerous thing to try and say that someone who is claiming that something bad happened to them are being misinformed or have developed some sort of false memory, because that's just such a slippery slope to get into, and you cannot start having a mature conversation about that on bad faith.
You can't assume that. Yeah, you also can't just assume that. And exactly. More often than not, if the person is a woman or not white,
exactly,
they are more likely to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you ever hear something referring to false memory syndrome or something like that,
not a thing. Just,
it's not a thing. It's not a thing. This is a psychological phenomenon. This is not a legal defense or a psychological disorder that someone can have.
Yeah, it's not a thing that people just start having in a vacuum. It is, you know, psychologists doing their fucked up tests, telling people they got lost in the mall. It doesn't just happen to a person.
Whose first thought is, I'm going to implant a false memory of trauma in their head? Like, what?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. This is not something that someone can do accidentally. I really would be shocked if that happened accidentally at any point. There was another example of this effect, though. Another study where participants saw photos of themselves as children, and this one would fuck me up, that were doctored, edited photographs of themselves in a situation they were never in. And they were shown photos of that to themselves and asked later on, what do you recall about this event?
Oh.
And yeah. So this, I think, is especially important to note in the age of AI bullshit. Be wary, right? Nobody wants to believe they would fall prey to any of these. And yet, the studies are there. People, by and large, do succumb to these, which is so interesting to me. The last one that I have before we get into the Mandela effect is relational processing and gist-based memory. And I have to enunciate that so I don't accidentally say gist-based memory.
Gist-based memory. I got some of those.
Yeah, same. So relational processing and gist-based memory are when people are focusing on meaning and relationships, they are more likely to form false memories than when focusing on the actual specific details of what happened. Kind of like when we were talking about word lists, participants are told to focus on the overall theme of a list and then they later recall more theme-related words that were never shown. So similar to how they were trying to get someone to guess a specific word that they never said, this is like the opposite of that in a way, where they're saying a bunch of words that they never said also, in addition to the one that they were trying to get them to say. They were saying sleep and all these other things, and these participants are saying pajama, and that was never even part of it either, but that's something that they
generated
relationally, gist wise with sleep.
Jizz wise,
exactly. There is another study that was done on this where participants were given a list of fruits and asked to try and memorize it. Later, they recalled grape specifically. It was a really common one among apple, banana, orange, right? They were told apple, banana, orange, grapefruit, kiwi, kumquat, persimmon, and a lot of them would add in grape for whatever reason, even though it was never there. Just because grape is a really common fruit, and it is relationally in the same kind of grocery fruit you might imagine. Aging is something that can also contribute to this one a lot as well. Obviously, people who are older tend to remember the gist of events well, but they don't remember the specific details as well. So gist-based false memories are really common with older people, specifically because something called verbatim memory, which is very specific memory, declines as you get older. It's just a natural part of the aging process. And now we get into the one that you are familiar with, the Mandela effect. The Mandela effect refers to large groups of people sharing the same incorrect memory, usually about cultural information.
Hey, my definition I pulled out of my ass was pretty close.
Really close, actually. And one thing I want to mention is if you try to look up who it was that coined the term Mandela effect, there is a lot of people saying that this one lady, I forget her name, but she's a paranormal researcher who has apparently just kind of claimed that she came up with it, ironically,
paranormal researcher?
Yeah. There's this lady is listed on the Wikipedia page for the Mandela effect.
You might as well tell me a dentist came up with a name with how unrelated that is.
I think this person had something to do with the conversation around it early on, but I don't think she coined the term. I don't even want to give her the name credit because apparently they're not a very nice person, but...
Oh, like the origin of the term neurodiversity. We don't give that bitch any airtime.
I saw a lot of people talking online, though, about how this person did not actually coin the term. And I think, ironically, she has made a great effort to implant a false memory that she did, in fact, coin the term. The namesake of the Mandela effect is many people remembering... falsely, that Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 1980s, which obviously did not happen.
Did not happen.
I think now it's much more commonly known, but there was a good period of time where if you asked somebody, hey, is Nelson Mandela still alive? They would say no. The reality is he was released from prison in 1990 and died in 2013.
Yeah, I was going to say he is dead now, but he lived a lot longer after being released from prison.
The example that you mentioned earlier, the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, I remember learning that this was because names ending in Steen are just way more common. Our brains just said, well, of course it must be Berenstain, when the actual people who wrote the book had the last name Berenstain.
Berenstain, exactly. Stain. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I have here a list of a whole bunch of Mandela effects that I'm going to quiz you on. It's quiz time. Picture in your mind Scooby-Doo, the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine Shaggy standing in front of you in his cartoon form. Do you draw, if you're drawing an image of Shaggy in your mind, an Adam's apple visible on his throat or no?
I don't believe I would.
You are correct. Shaggy has never been depicted as having had a visible Adam's apple, but a lot of people, for some reason, remember him as having one.
I don't remember that, but I wonder if it's just because you think of the tall, skinny dude like that, and you just assume there's a protruding Adam's apple. It's a gist-based
false memory.
It's a gist-based, yeah, people are just assuming. I've met people in the real world with his general build, and generally there's a big Adam's apple.
And I think they're picturing Matthew Lillard from the Scooby-Doo movies, who has a pronounced Adam's apple.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. You know Steamboat Willie? Good old Mickey Mouse cartoon, finally in the public domain. You know how Mickey Mouse is wearing suspenders?
Is he? I think he just got the pants and the gloves.
You're good. Yeah, he's just got pants with two buttons on the front.
Yeah.
That kind of look like suspenders, but they're not suspenders. But everyone remembers, oh yeah, yeah, he had suspenders and gloves. Did not have suspenders.
No, he has the pants that have the button up near the waist. Kind of like sailor, kind of like sailor pants.
Yeah, yeah, like bloomers, kind of.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they look like, right? But two big buttons on the front. And I think it's similar to the button arrangement of overalls, suspenders, not suspenders. Do you know what the Wicked Witch of the West says in The Wizard of Oz when she is sending her monkeys to fly away?
She say, fly my pretties?
Everyone quotes it as, fly my pretties, fly. She does not say that. She says, fly, fly, fly. She never says my pretties at all.
Yeah, I think I also just remember that from other people referencing it.
Right? I think that's how this happens. It's like mimetic.
Yeah, because I've only watched the original Wizard of Oz a couple times, but I've heard people reference it more times than I can count. So it is mimetic, really.
The cereal, Captain Crunch. Is it Captain or Cap apostrophe in?
It's Cap apostrophe in.
You're correct. I'm very impressed so far.
It's
Captain. You're completely above board. You haven't gotten any of these wrong so far. I did
the Wicked Witch one.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I got the Wicked Witch one.
You're one down. Here's one that I really expect you to get. What color is Snoopy's tail?
Snoopy's tail is white.
It's white with a black spot near the base.
Oh.
I don't remember.
It's both.
Most people remember his tail as solid black, but in reality, he is drawn typically with a white tail, but with a splotch of black near the base of his tail. I'll give you that one, because you remember you didn't fall for the common one, which says that his tail is black. What color is Tony the Tiger's nose?
Oh, God. Remember this accursed tiger.
This one fucked me up. I got this wrong.
Is it white?
No. I'll give you one more guess.
Orange?
His nose is blue.
I'm sorry, what?
Tony the Tiger has a blue nose.
What? But tigers aren't that color. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Tony the Tiger blue nose.
I think we all, I'm about to, I think we all get a pass on that one because tiger, it's goddamn fucking royal blue. Why?
I looked it up and my heart leapt out of my chest and I said, a time traveler has changed the past. I am going to lose my shit.
And it is, I'm like seeing several him across history. They all got a blue nose.
Wow, that blew my mind. I don't.
But I think we all misremember because tigers don't come in blue.
Tigers don't typically come in blue.
Yeah.
That I'm aware
and
of.
And it's not even like a shading thing where they used a blue for like shading or highlight. It's not that. Straight it's not that blue. They used a blue to highlight a black nose. It's just blue.
It's just blue. Look, if you're listening, pull over your car on the highway. No, don't do
right
that.
Now.
Stop. Text while driving. Don't. I'm just kidding. When you get a chance, look this up. If you don't believe me, just search Tony the Tiger on like DuckDuckGo or something.
That's
His
fucked
nose
up.
Is freaking blue.
It's fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Hey, you remember that 1990s movie where Sinbad was a genie?
He was not.
No, he was. Just kidding. You are correct.
Yeah, he was not.
What was it called? The one that we're thinking of? Where there's a famous person that played a genie?
Kazam.
Say again?
Kazam.
You are... Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I remembered it as Shazam.
No, it's Kazam.
Remember it as, yeah.
It's Kazam and it's Shaq.
It's Shaq. Yes. Yeah. Wow. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
All right. So you're down two only so far, which is really impressive. So most people remember a movie called Shazam, starring Sinbad as a genie, which seems weird. I remember Shaquille O'Neal, but I remembered it as Shazam, not Kazam. So here's another fun one. Remember the Oops, I Did It Again music video?
Yes.
Is she wearing a microphone headset in that video? The little microphone that goes up near your mouth? Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't believe she is.
Wow. I really, truly believe that autistic people are less susceptible to these because you're absolutely, absolutely correct.
I recorded that and watched it on repeat so I could learn the dance as a kid.
Oh, that explains a lot too.
Yeah.
It was a toss-up for me. I don't think I watched the music video much when I was younger.
And I also think people are so confused on that one because she so often has the headset when we're used to seeing her that they just insert a headset on Britney Spears and everything.
Exactly. Her live performances very, very commonly was wearing one of those. So yeah, that makes sense. You know the very popular brand of peanut butter that starts with a J?
Jif.
Thank you. It's Jif. A lot of people apparently remember it as Jif-E. Jiffy Lube?
Or like Jiffy Pop.
I don't know where they're getting that. Yeah, Jiffy Pop. It's just Jif, y'all. Yeah. It's just Jif. You know the cartoon Looney Tunes?
Yes.
Spell tunes in Looney Tunes.
Oh, you're trying to get me. You're trying to get me. T-U-N-E-S.
Oh, you got it. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You got it. It's tunes, as in musical tunes, because there was a lot of music in the show.
Yeah, not cartoon.
So many people, myself included at one point, I think several years ago I got corrected on this, thought it was Looney Tunes, T-O-O-N-S. Of course, we have the Berenstain Bears, skipping that one because we already know. Did you read the Curious George books when you were younger?
A little bit.
Yeah. Do you remember what Curious George looks like?
I think I have a pretty good idea.
Yeah. You know what kind of animal he is?
Yeah, he is a chimp.
Got it. Does Curious George have a tail?
Well, if I've said he's a chimp, that would preclude a tail, would it not?
You are so smart. I love you. Chimps don't have tails.
Chimps don't have tails.
Curious George does not have a tail.
Yeah, no, he's a chimp. So by definition, he would not have a tail.
So many people think he's a monkey. He is not a monkey. He is a chimpanzee.
Okay, this makes me so mad. Okay, so I've been rewatching Charmed, and there's an episode where some doctor injects three chimps with the charmed one's blood, and the chimps get powers. The episode is called Astral Monkey, and they call them monkey. They call them monkeys 100% of the time. And as a child, when I watched this episode, I got really angry about it. Because they're not monkeys. And rewatching it as an adult, I'm like, oh, baby Brienne, you were right. That is annoying.
That's annoying, yeah. But yeah, if there's one thing you can take home from this, listeners, chimps don't have tails. If it doesn't have a tail, it's almost certainly a chimp.
Well, not almost certainly a chimp.
It might have a little stubby monkey tail.
If it doesn't have a tail, it is an ape.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're correct. My bad.
So you have others. You have like orangutans, bonobos. You have like... Yeah. Apes, no tails. Prehensile tail is what makes monkey. All of those are primates.
Thank you. You're so smart. I love you.
I love you. I'm full of a lot of stuff that doesn't help me in my day-to-day life, but it's good for quizzes like these.
Well, I'm so proud of you. You're two down, I believe, so far, if I recall correctly. You know the show where it's sex and there's women in the city?
Sex in the city?
You already picked up on what it is. Most people remember it as Sex in the City, apparently.
No.
I remember it as Sex and the City.
The city's one of the characters.
I always remembered it as Sex and the City. So you got that one. You know the spray that makes stuff smell good, but it has lots of chemicals? Febreze?
Febreze.
How many E's are in Febreze?
Three.
You are correct. I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
I misremember it constantly as F-E-B-R-E-E-Z-E. There's only one E in the middle. F-E-B-R-E-Z-E.
So when it comes to these spelling ones, I'm pulling up a picture of what I can best pull up of what those logos like Looney Tunes and stuff looks like. And I wonder if... So with autistic people, aphantasia is really common where you can't get a mental picture I'm more on the hyperphantasia end of it, where if you tell me to picture an apple, I can, like, tell me what kind of apple. I'll give specific. I can picture that all. So I kind of wonder if my visual thinking, which a lot of autistic people have visual thinking. There's actually a book about autistic visual thinking. I feel like that's helping me out here on a lot of these.
Yeah. For me, I got this one wrong because I don't remember what the Febreze logo looks like. I don't remember how to spell it. I never paid attention deliberately, and I would have to understand how to spell it.
If I were good at writing out fonts, I could probably write you out the font.
I believe it. I believe it. What my brain did is it went, I know how to spell breeze. I can spell
Febreze. Yeah, and cut straight to it. Yeah.
Exactly. Which is incorrect. If you were an Oscar Mayer wiener, how would you spell Mayer?
M-A-Y-E-R.
God damn it. You're unflappable. I'm trying to get you with these and you're not getting got. I'm so proud of you. Wow. Yeah, you're still two down and up everything else. The shoe brand with really weird shapes that old people love to wear, Skechers. Is there a T in Skechers?
No, absolutely not.
There is not a T in Skechers. I'm so proud of you.
It's not just an old people thing. In the 90s, I was all about my Skechers.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, I had platform Skechers sneakers I loved. Oh. They were like
Back
a
day,
faux suede.
Let me be
yeah,
clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nowadays, I feel like they kind of cater to the older crowd, but back in the day, they were the shit. Next one I have for you is Fruit Loops. How do you spell fruit in Fruit Loops?
Oh, this one might fuck me up.
Trust your heart. In your heart, you know it to be true what the answer is.
Froot?
I love you. You're brilliant. Yes, it's Froot.
Okay. I was wondering, so understanding the bias thing was making me second guess myself, because my heart said Oot, and it's like, or are you just remembering Oot because Loops has two O's and you think it's... And then I was like, but from an advertising standpoint, having them both have two O's is nice. So maybe I am right. So that's the process I just had to go through. I'm second guessing myself because I've been made aware of the biases.
Right. Here's the even wilder one about this particular Mandela effect. When you look this up, what is it, right? What the spelling is. Obviously, you come across the answer, well, it's Fruit Loops, Froot. And then you hear a bunch of people online lying and saying that, oh, yeah, it used to be Fruit back in the 60s, and then they got sued because it doesn't actually have fruit in it. And then
they have a whole fabricated story.
It is bullshit. I found the first ever advertisement for Fruit Loops.
Oh,
you know what the slogan is?
What?
The slogan is, Utfre Oopsley. That's toucan talk for a new cereal grown-ups call Fruit Loops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a really cute advertisement, by the way. I'll have to show you the picture later. But it's got the original Toucan Sam, which is, I think, personally superior to modern Toucan Sam. And I would love to see them on a modern cereal box. But yeah, originally, the O's were fruits, an orange and a lemon.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it makes sense. So here's a weird one. Think of Henry VIII, the big boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever recall a portrait of Henry VIII, where he is holding a turkey leg?
No.
I don't. A lot of people apparently do.
What?
And I don't know where they're getting that. Yeah. Apparently, a lot of people remember a very specific portrait of Henry VIII where he is posing, where he's supposedly holding a turkey leg. He's not. It doesn't exist. So
wild.
I don't know where they're getting that.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Here's the next one. The Monopoly Man. What is he wearing? Specifically, accessories are what I'm looking for.
He's got a cane.
Uh-huh. Yes, and?
A monocle?
Do you think he has a monocle?
Well, now I'm second guessing it because you asked me it like that. You asked me that like that and I don't know.
This is the question. Does he have a monocle?
Well, I was going to say yes. That was my original answer. He doesn't, does he?
He does not have a monocle.
Interesting.
He has a top hat and a cane, no monocle.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know. This one fucks me up because I just... You think of the stereotypical aristocrat and of the time, right? And it's some dude in a tux and spats and a big stovepipe hat and a monocle with a big mustache. No, he does not have a monocle. That one messed me up too when I first heard of it. So that you got three strikes.
I got three strikes,
far.
But I'm doing pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I think so. What color is Pikachu's tail?
Brown.
There's two acceptable answers here because it's been depicted two different ways.
It's got the brown. It's brown at the end.
Which end?
The tip.
The end of it?
Yeah.
Not the base?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's incorrect.
What?
His tail is either entirely yellow or brown just at the base of his tail. Go ahead and look it up.
It is the base, and I remembered it wrong. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know. This one messed me up a few times when I was younger.
And I should have remembered because the Pokemon gender tail thing.
Right, right. Most people remember him as having black markings on his tail, strangely enough.
So I'm looking at a picture where he does.
Really?
I don't know if that is authentic Nintendo.
Oh, if you click on the image, I bet you it's linking to the Mandela effect or a discussion on it. Some people remembered him having that falsely and made images of it to talk about the phenomena.
Yeah,
which is
I obviously didn't remember the black tip. I thought it was brown. So I was probably mixing this Mandela effect of the black tip with the reality that there's brown on his tail.
All right. So is that four?
Yes, that's four that I've gotten wrong.
Four. Got it. The candy, Kit Kat. Is there a hyphen?
I haven't eaten a Kit Kat since I was a child. This one's going to be difficult.
That's fair. You're not predisposed to get this one. So I'll give you this one as a freebie.
I don't think it has a hyphen.
Well, you'd be correct. It does not have a hyphen, but a lot of people assume it does. You know the underwear, Fruit of the Loom? Or I guess they make t-shirts and stuff now too.
Yeah.
What is their logo?
It's a whole mess of fruit.
And nothing else?
No, it's just like grapes and stuff.
You're correct. A lot of people remember there being a cornucopia behind the fruit, but there is not.
Interesting.
Yeah. You can kind of picture it in your head though, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm confused about. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh yeah, I have an image of that. Wait, why?
Because they've never had a cornucopia back there.
Weird.
I think typically when we see images of an assortment of fruit,
but
it's with a cornucopia.
But I think that would have been a long time ago. Because now if I think of an assortment of fruit, I'm thinking of like a fruit platter.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an odd one.
Yeah.
But it's one of the ones that really confounds me.
Yeah. So
here's one that blew my mind. You know double stuffed Oreos?
Yeah.
Here's a multiple choice for you. Is it double stuffed, F-F-E-D, S-T-U-F-F, or S-T-U-F?
Ooh. Well, I think it's not with an E-D because I think it means it's got double the stuff.
Okay.
Is it two F's?
I'm so sorry. It's a singular F.
Interesting. Again, not something I'm usually
with one
because
F.
of my particular yeah. illnesses. It's not something I can regularly eat, but I remembered it wasn't an ED.
Yeah, no. I remembered it not being an ED, but I was really surprised when I saw that it only had one F. I was like, really?
Yeah.
It's not stuff, just double stuff? Like, but no, it's double stuff with one F, which is
got double the
wild.
Stuff.
What color is C-3PO from Star Wars?
Well, I've seen the actual costume in real life, and I'm going to feel like God's most perfect ding-dong if I answer it wrong.
I would get this one wrong if I were you, because I did originally.
I think he's gold.
You are mostly correct. However, his right leg, knee down, is silver.
Okay, well, I like Star Trek, so.
Yeah, no, same. I'm a Star Trek fan. One of his legs is silver, not for any particular reason that I'm aware of. I think because he was built by someone in a desert planet or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he's
Star
built
Wars.
By a child.
Don't at me. How do you spell Flintstones, like the cartoon?
Flintstones.
You're correct. Yes.
Like Flint rock.
Flintstones. Yes.
Like a Flint rock.
A lot of people, exactly. A lot of people, for some reason, remember this as Flintstones, which is not a thing.
Yeah, no, it's Flint like a rock.
Flint like a type of stone. Exactly. What does Darth Vader say to Luke Skywalker famously in their confrontation scene?
It is not, Luke, I am your father.
You're correct there. So you've already got the point, I'll tell you. For that.
Yes, I'm aware that this is a Mandela effect. God, once again, I'm being punished for not being that into Star Wars.
Would you like a hint?
He's talking to Luke. I'm picturing it in my head. And Luke interjects. He goes, no, it can't be.
Luke says, you killed my father. Darth Vader says,
I'm not going to get it verbatim.
Luke
he says, no,
says,
I am
no,
your...
No, yeah. I am your father.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just says, no, I'm your father. He doesn't say, Luke, I'm your father. He says, no, you're wrong. I'm your father.
Yeah, and then Luke goes, no, it can't be, right?
Like, exactly, exactly. In the movie Jaws, you know the scene where it is referred to that someone will be needing a bigger boat? People typically remember this as, we're going to need a bigger boat. Do you remember what the actual line is? And if I'll give you a bonus point if you can guess why.
Can I guess why?
Yeah, if you can name specifically why it's not weird.
One person who's got the boat for it, right? I've seen this movie like once.
That's fair. I'll just tell you. It's, you're going to need a bigger boat because it's not his boat.
Yeah.
He's just riding on someone else's boat. So yeah, everyone always says, we're going to need a bigger boat, but it's you're going to need a bigger boat. Forrest Gump. Classic line. What was his classic line again about life and chocolates?
Well, I know what people remember it as, but doesn't he start off by saying, my mama told me that life is like a box of chocolates?
Is that your final answer?
I guess, again, when we're getting into movies I've seen like once or twice.
Forrest Gump in this movie says, my mom always told me life was like a box of chocolates. Past tense.
Well, that just seems pedantic.
I know. It's a small
one. That one seems so fucking
pedantic. I'm not going to take a point away from that one.
It's the same word in a different tense. God forbid.
Yeah, I know. But it's also an iconic quote that people get wrong. What does Gandalf say to the hobbits when the Balrog attacks in Lord of the Rings?
Flee, you fools.
What?
Flee, you fools.
You're actually incorrect.
I am?
Most people remember it as run, you fools, apparently. But it's fly, you fools.
Oh, fly. I got closer. Hey.
You got close.
I got closer.
You know what? I'll give you the point.
I was one sound off.
I'll give you the point
for
that one, honestly.
And also, it's bad because they can't fly.
Yeah, honestly.
Checkmate.
Yeah. I'll give you the point for that one. You win. What is the correct line from Snow White regarding a mirror on the wall? Something, something
on the wall. I don't
fucking
know. I like TV shows more than movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
Isn't she saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, tell me who's the fairest of them all?
Actually, that is incorrect.
I imagine, because I haven't watched the movie since 1995.
That's okay. I'm sorry.
The movie ones are pissing me off, because I don't really watch movies that often.
That's totally fair. What she actually says is, magic mirror on the wall.
Oh.
Who's the fairest of them all? Yeah, she doesn't say mirror, mirror. I don't know why we remember it that way, though. This one is another one. I won't even quiz you on this one, because this one is a very, very minor one. You know the Mr. Rogers theme song?
Mm-hmm.
It's a
beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, is what he says. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. Apparently. It's not the, it's this neighborhood only.
Only that one.
Here's one that you will probably get. What is the phrase that Kirk iconically says to Scotty when he wants to go back to the ship?
Well, he usually says how many he wants to beam up. He doesn't say beam me up, Scotty. He'll say two to beam up.
Okay. I'll count that. Yeah, that's correct. He never once in the series said the phrase beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah, no, he doesn't say that. He frequently says Scotty two to beam up.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think the closest he ever got from the research that I saw was something along the lines of, Scotty, I need you to beam me up, please, or something. that dances around the concept of it.
So in a lot of Star Trek groups, there is actually a meme that kinda gets banned of some graffiti someone wrote in a bathroom stall that says, Scotty, don't beam me up. I'm taking a shit, and the line goes all the way up. So if you're ever in a Star Trek group, don't share that meme. They've seen it and there might be a rule against it.
Oh, wow. That's funny. That's good. Here's one that got me. You know Silence of the Lambs? Mm-hmm. I know it's another movie one. What does Hannibal Lecter say to Clarice, iconically, that everyone recalls?
I mean, okay, so this is actually one where I've read the books.
Gotcha. There's an iconic line from the movie that everyone quotes from Hannibal Lecter when they're trying to imitate Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, just people imitate him by saying hello, Clarice. But doesn't he just say hello, Miss Starling? Doesn't he actually say her full name?
He just says good morning.
Oh.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's it. I thought you were going to do the, but...
I ate a census taker once, I ate his liver with fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Yeah. Does Mickey Mouse have a tail?
I don't think he does. I don't believe so. I don't believe so.
He does have a tail and has always had a tail.
Really?
He always has had a tail. He has a black, wiry mouse tail.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. He shouldn't have a tail, but he does.
I don't like that.
He does not have suspenders. He does have a tail.
Interesting.
It's weird, right? And then the last one I have for you here, before we get into a little bit of research to cap it all off. You remember the movie Field of Dreams, where they say, if you build it,
they will come.
That's not the line, apparently. It's actually, if you build it, he will come, which is...
Wow, he really likes baseball.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of more suggestive.
Yeah.
If you build it, he will come.
He will come. He loves baseball so much.
And also, it's not even said during the main portion of the movie. It's said by like an ethereal voice during the intro.
I imagine, just weird. Yeah, I imagine that would stick with people though. Because if it's in the intro and you just hear, if you build it, he'll jizz his pants. I would remember.
After doing all of this research, I was really curious to see how susceptible autistic people would be to this versus an autistic person, because I fell prey to quite a few of these. Brianne, I think you, my memory is terrible today, but I think four?
I mean, if we get into the movie ones where it's a movie I haven't really seen much or in a long time, I did fuck up a lot of them.
Some of those you just wouldn't have known either way.
Okay.
You got. I feel like you did great, honestly. So there's a website called the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, or PNAS. And it is PNAS.org.
Do they have merch?
God, I hope they do, honestly. But this is a website where there's like science papers posted. Like, and it's all serious and stuff, and it's called PNAS. So yeah, this is a paper from the year 2000. So the verbiage is a little when it comes to people that are autistic, I will say. But this was a study not with a large group of autistic people, but the results were pretty interesting. Individuals with autism spectrum disorder, as they say in the paper, have quote-unquote impaired ability to use context, which may manifest as alterations of relatedness within the semantic network. To test context use in this population, we examined the influence of context on memory by using false memory tests. In the false memory task, lists of words were presented to high-functioning quote-unquote subjects with ASD and match controls. Each list consists of words highly related to an index word not on the list. So this is the word list one that we're doing. Subjects are given a recognition test. Positive responses to the index word, so saying they remember the index word that was not present, represents a false memory. In the study, we found that individuals with ASD are able to discriminate false memory items from true items significantly better than our control subjects. Memory in patients with ASD may be more accurate than in normal individuals under certain conditions. These results also suggest that semantic representations comprise a less distributed network in high-functioning adults with ASD. So associative recollection is less prevalent in people that are autistic. It's less valued, I guess, is what they're saying. I don't know if that's necessarily...
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily true, especially those of us who are also who also have ADHD, where lateral thinking is one of the benefits. But that's really interesting.
Yeah. They also say, furthermore, these results may be related to the unusually high memory capacities found in some individuals with ASD. Yeah, it's from 2000, so there's some...
Yeah, no, the language is atrocious. The language makes me quite angry. And that's just interesting, because I always felt like other people are very bad at remembering things.
Yeah, no, honestly. And I genuinely, like, knowing you and dating you and being your partner, you have such an impeccable memory to me. It baffles me sometimes. Like, it really seems like you have such an incredible ability to recollect things with such accuracy. It is hard for me to understand how you are perceiving things to be able to recollect things that accurately.
And when I'm recalling memory, something they asked about in my autism assessment was, when you are recalling things, do you picture a little file folder in your brain to pull memories out? And I was like, not a file folder, but it's a computer desktop. And she was like, it's a computer desktop? And I was like, don't other people? And just the look on her face was like, sweetie, no. And I went, oh, how does everyone else remember things? And my assessor was autistic, and she was just like, apparently, for most people, they just go try to remember the seventh grade, and then they try to remember the seventh grade. They don't say, I started a new school in the seventh grade on January 6th of 2002. It was a rainy day. This was the uniform stuff I was wearing. In Miss Juvenile's English class, I sat behind a boy named James.
If I were a memory for me, I think is something so inherently different than it is for you. And not to say that, like, there's anything wrong with you. I think just the way you form memories is very different from me. Because for me, if I try to think of the seventh grade, it's like a fog. I just don't, it's like I'm just drawing a blank. I just don't remember what happened in seventh grade. I remember some band stuff and learning saxophone.
And I don't have like an eidetic memory for everything that happened to me in the seventh grade by any means. God, is it Mary Lou Henner who has like impeccable biographical memory? Like, you could ask her. I'll have to go look her up. There's someone who has the most ridiculous biographical memory. Weirdly, she was on an episode of Mabim Bam where they were like, what were you doing on June 8th, 1984? And she goes, okay, so I was married to this guy at this time and I was doing this and I was like, and I was in this play and it's like, oh, damn. ADHD also just makes that even a little more fucked up for me because there's some things I remember impeccably. And then there are some points in time where like, I don't remember at all. Or autistic burnout, my early 20s, it's all very foggy. I think it's also related, like memory things. Autistic people are more likely to develop PTSD than non-autistic people. And I think the very fact that we can't filter out things like sensory information, like I don't get to filter any of that. All of it comes in. I think not only helps us remember things we want to remember better because we have all these other sensory anchors to that moment in time, but also helps us remember things we don't necessarily want to remember that vividly. So it is a double-edged sword, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, I just remembered that it's push day, and you're going to spot me while I was going to bench press.
Hell yeah.
So shall we convene?
We shall. I'll see you in the weight room, honey.
If you can remember. Friends, before I get to thanking our Patreon supporters, I would like to make you aware of a mutual aid opportunity. If you have been listening to Info Dumpies at all the past several months, you'll know that we have a Fuck Ice sticker in the Belana Arts merch hub. This sticker was designed by Violet, and 100% of the proceeds for that go to CanMN, which is Community Aid Network Minnesota. They are a mutual aid organization that is well established in this area and is currently helping our neighbors who are having difficulty paying rent, having difficulty getting the things they need because they have been stuck in their homes because of the ice invasion of our city. So we had a couple more orders since last episode, and I am excited to be able to make another donation to them in the near future. I will be posting when we make donations on the Mixnomer social media and my personal social media for transparency. But yeah, if you hop on over to the Belana Arts merch hub, and the link to that is in our show details, you will find a link to the Fuck Ice sticker that Violet designed, and 100% of that goes directly towards helping our neighbors here in Minneapolis. And now I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters, like Patch, Harleen, Bethany, Laura Kramer, Lilith Rain, Janice Weston, Anarchista, Percy, Nanya B, Kate Michigoose, K Genius, Chibs1012, Dave Perrell, Megan E, Carl Brooks, Natasha Neves, Gus, Lucy, Helen Clifford, Sewing Seraph, Rachel Rachelson, and Fintago. You know the deal. You want to help us out, you can tell other people about the show. Post about it wherever you lurk on the internet. Tell people to listen to the show. We grow entirely by word of mouth because we don't take out paid ads, and we don't take paid ads. So you don't have, you know, 40% of your show spent with me, you know, telling you use my code / info dumpies to get 20% off. No, there's none of that here. But that means I'm also not paying for other people to advertise us. So you are effectively our info dumpies, our mixed gnomer street team, and you tell people about the stuff we make. So if you have an opportunity to tell folks about the show, please do. Word of mouth is entirely how we grow, and it is the reason we are able to do info dumpies in the first place. So we appreciate those of you who have already been sharing the good news of mixed gnomer to other folks. If you want to help us even further, you can subscribe on your podcatcher of choice. You can also leave a cute rating, review, or sweet comment on the episode, whatever your podcatcher supports as far as interacting with the show. The more you interact with the show, the more active we are in those algorithms, the more those algorithms are likely to recommend us to people who like similar shows. So you help us get seen more by interacting with the show on your podcatcher of choice. If you're in a place to help us out monetarily, you can find a link to the Mixed Gnomer Patreon page in our show details. That's for everything Mixed Gnomer has done, is doing, and is going to be doing in the future. Tiers start at just $1, and we have different rewards for different levels. We're going to have a new show coming out in a few months. I don't want to give an ETA yet, but that will have notes from a Con Lang I'm writing for that show as part of the Patreon rewards. There's music from today's lucky winner. There's the Info Dumpies music. There's all of our notes from every Info Dumpies episode we do. There's just a lot of stuff that we try to give you all the extras that I think we personally would find interesting if we were supporting Patreon for podcasts we enjoyed. So yeah, if you are in a place to throw a couple bucks our way, you appreciate listening to us. The link to the Mixed Gnomer page is in the show details. And if you want to come hang out with us, there's also a link to the Mixed Gnomer Discord server in the show details. Because of Discord's current fuckery, we are trying to find an alternative hangout spot for when they start asking for everyone's ID and stuff. We're working on it. It's hard. We will let you know when we switch gears, but for the meantime, we are all still bopping around on Discord. We had a great time playing Jackbox games as of recording this, just the previous night, and it's just a lot of fun. It's the sweetest sweethearts on the internet. I am so proud that the stuff we make attracts people who are so genuinely kind to their core. I'm very proud of that. It's one of the proudest parts of doing these podcasts in the first place is the absolute sweethearts they attract. It makes me really happy. But anyway, that's all I've got for you, my friends. Until next time, clever sign off.